I'm assuming the technological aspect of the church is dead. You gals have the magic touch. I'd suggest maybe you get a pew Bible and look at the scriptures that we're going to be studying this morning as we come to those. Way back in 1982, you could actually go to a football game and enjoy it. Someone might pray. The national anthem was played, and everybody stood, and people in the stands actually could relax to some extent and enjoy the football game. Wasn't politicized. It wasn't a matter of whether you kneel or not kneel. It was something that people enjoyed. Back in 1982, on an October afternoon, in Madison, Wisconsin, 60,000 fans marched into the bleachers and enjoyed, to some extent, what was going on. Actually, the Wisconsin University was being soundly trounced upon by the Michigan State Spartans. I mean, Wisconsin was being really about like Phillipsburg and Oakley. But the strange thing was this. Throughout the afternoon, throughout the ball game, every once in a while, the Wisconsin fans would shout and clap. Very strange for being beaten so badly. But here's what was going on. While they were at the football game, there was also another game going on. The Milwaukee Brewers were playing the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series. And many of the people in the stands brought their radios. And when the Milwaukee Brewers made a great play, they would shout and clap. Here's the thing. They were at the football game, but their minds were at the World Series. How many of you experienced that? It would be nice if we could figure out where your minds go during this short 30-minute message. I can almost tell, after having been in the ministry for a long, long time, when the blood drains from your face and your brain turns off and you are no longer here. You're somewhere else. That happens to all of us, depending upon the situation and where we're at. It reminds me of what we're going to be studying this morning, Paul and Silas in Acts, the 16th chapter. Their bodies were in prison, but their minds were somewhere else. And that is tremendously important for this particular situation as we look at what happened to Paul and Silas. But before we get into that, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to pop up and answer it. You don't have to raise your hand. I ask myself this question all the time. Do you honestly desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus? Is that really the thump of your heart? Is that the goal of your life? Is that more important to you than anything else? To live a godly life. Now, here's the thing. Paul asked that same question. This is what he said. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. I think most of us can say that, can't we? Most of us could say, yes, I want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. However, I didn't finish that entire verse. And when he says everyone, he's not excluding anyone. When he says everyone, that means everyone. He's not excluding the nation of Israel. He's not excluding any person under any circumstances. He's saying everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And then he finishes the verse. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Do you still want to live a godly life for Christ Jesus? It doesn't say if you will suffer persecution. That's inevitable. If you live a godly life, there will be some form of persecution in your life. Now, if you're not, you might just fit into the mold and nothing will happen. But I believe that everybody will be persecuted in one way or the other. But especially those who say that they are going to live a godly life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think to some extent we have soft-pedaled the gospel. We have said that if you become a Christian, everything is going to turn out wonderful. Well, that's not true. We are not exempt from tribulation, from trials, from suffering. That's going to happen to us. If you have a desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. Now, you may not like to hear that, but that's the way it is. Now, there are some wonderful, wonderful things that happen to us when we become a child of God, aren't there? We're free from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have already in our possession the gift of everlasting life, so that when we die, we just make that transition from one dimension to another. That's a wonderful thing. We have relationships with other Christians that are so astounding. As we live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have blessing upon blessing upon blessing, even through the difficult times. So, I just want you to know that there was a little book written some time ago called Unhappy Secrets of the Christian Life. This is what it says, just in brief. There's a dangerous rumor making the rounds. It's the notion that problems fade away when you become a Christian. Well, I think every one of us can testify to the fact that that's not true. Problems do come. The Christian life is not like going to camp. The Christian life is not like a mountaintop experience. For every mountaintop experience we have in Christ, there will be 10 times struggling experience. So even though in Christ there's persecution, there are blessings upon blessings upon blessings. I read a story recently, true, about codfish being shipped from the East Coast to the West Coast. They would freeze these fish and put them on an airplane to the West Coast. The problem is, when they arrived, because of the makeup of codfish, the fish was mushy, and people didn't like it. So they decided that they would send the fish live. Problem is, when they arrived, they were dead. Nobody liked dead fish. So the third attempt was quite interesting. They put the predator, the feared fish of the cod, in the tank with them, a catfish. And for the entire trip, the cod were running away from the catfish. And when they arrived, the catfish, the cod were very healthy, and people who ate it said, best cod we've ever had. Now, here's the point. God may put some catfish in your tank by way of persecution. Why would he do that? Because it's in those times when we draw closer to the Lord, or at least we should. It's in those times when we come to the conclusion that we can't handle the situation, that we aren't smart enough to deal with the entire situation, and we trust the Lord. So persecution isn't to God doing something nasty to us. It can actually be a benefit to our spiritual growth. It can help us to rely upon the Word. It can help us to rely upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we shouldn't be afraid of what the Apostle Paul says. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let's take a look at, and if you have a Bible, turn to Acts 16, verses 22 through 24. Acts 16, verses 22 through 24. The name of this message, this is the last one on prisons, by the way. We'll be starting a new series this coming Lord's Day. This is the prison of praise. Wow. This is what the scripture says. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul. You see, Paul cast out a demon from a girl who was owned by her masters. She could tell fortunes, and they were making a lot of money with her. And she kept following Paul and Silas, saying, these are men of God. And Paul eventually got tired of it and turned around and said to her, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, demon, come out of her. And the demon did. And these guys were so upset with the Apostle Paul and Silas that they went to the authorities and said, these are disruptive people. Throw them in jail. So this is what the scripture says. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, now these are Christian people. These are evangelists. These are missionaries. These are men out doing the will of God, and they wind up in jail. They wind up being flogged. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell. The inner cell in the jail was the most difficult portion of the jail from which a person could escape. Paul and Silas had these guys frightened for some odd reason, and so they made sure that they were put in the most difficult portion of the prison. Now, keep in mind this, too. They were stripped. I don't know if they had jail clothes in those days. Chances are these guys were stark naked. They were put in the inner prison, and their feet were put in stocks. I think you could say if you were stripped and beaten and put in prison, you were going to have a bad day. And certainly that was true for Paul and Silas. However, remember, even though they were in these dire circumstances, that's not where their minds were. Opposition is powerful. And as we live in this culture, we have effort upon effort being made to wipe away the idea of Jesus Christ from society. You can't pray in school. You can't pray at a football game. You can't even mention the name of Jesus without getting in some kind of trouble. If you kneel on a football field to pray, you're in trouble. If you kneel on a football field to be disrespectful to the flag and to the national anthem and to the veterans who paid the ultimate price for them to do that, it's okay. We are a very confused nation. I don't know about you, but if somebody stripped me, beat me, made me bloody, threw me in prison, shackled me, and left me there, I don't know if I would be able to do what Paul and Silas did. I would hope so, but I couldn't say for sure until I was in that kind of a situation. Now, they could have said, God, where did you go? If you read the book of Acts, you know that Paul and Silas were headed in one direction, and God said, you come on down here. I want you here to preach the word. And so here they are in prison, severely beaten, and they could have been thinking, you know, God, you're the one who brought us down here to proclaim the message of Christ, and now we're in the middle of this prison in dire straits. So they could have been thinking along those lines, but I don't know for sure. I think that's what I would have been thinking. What is really sad when we think about persecution is when persecution comes from brothers and sisters in Christ. There's persecution that goes on in churches. There's fights that go on in churches. There's disgruntlement that goes on in churches. Well, I don't like him. I don't like her. We sometimes say onerous things about one another. Folks, that should not be. We are the family of God, and we need to act like it, because when we do, the people will understand that Jesus is the Lord. By this shall they know that you are my disciples, if you have agape love for one another. You don't have to agree with everything I say. You don't even have to like me. But you better love me in Christ. Okay? Persecution that comes from within is even more difficult to deal with than persecution that comes from without. So, let's think about praises from verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas, wow, we're back in action. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I think that's tremendously important. We have no idea what background these prisoners came from. Why they were there, what hideous crimes they may have executed. But here's Paul and Silas now in the middle of this dire situation, and they decide instead of being where they are, they're going to take their minds and leave the prison and put their minds in Christ. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What is the favorite song you sing when you're having a difficult day? Let me ask that tough question again. Do y'all sing in the bathtub or the shower? You don't sing at all? You know, the scripture really talks about the benefit of singing. It doesn't say that you have to sound good, but it does talk about the benefits of singing. And in this situation, here's Paul and Silas, and they do two things. They sing and they pray. And what did they pray about? I'm sure they prayed for the prisoners who were listening. I'm sure they prayed for deliverance from a dire situation. And what were they singing? They were singing the Psalms. That was the Hebrew hymn book. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. On and on and on you could go with the Psalms. Of course, you have to know the Psalms in order to sing the Psalms. But that's what they were doing. So instead of being in prison, they were out of prison, worshiping and praising the Lord. That's a tremendous lesson for us, folks. As we face challenges in this life, what should we do? Sing and praise. Sing and praise. There's a little song. Gwen knows it. Do you want to sing it, Gwen? Huh? It says, Paul and Silas were in jail. Bail they could not raise. Jailer's calling. Walls are fallen. Singing songs of praise. Singing songs of happiness. Dark the day. Light your way. Keep singing songs of praise. Well, you know a lot of songs of praise. Each and every one of you. It might be, bless the Lord, O my soul. It might be, sweetest name is Jesus. All kinds of things should come to your mind when you think about that, so that you can sing a song of praise, not just when you're in persecution, but if you're feeling down today, sing a song of praise. Gwen and I do that quite frequently. And let me emphasize, it isn't how you sound, it's the joy in the heart that you submit to the King of Kings in worship and praise of Him. So sing those songs. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. That's a good little song to sing under any circumstances. I like what this verse says. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Think about this. You're in prison, and these couple of guys are in the innermost prison, and they're singing hymns and praising God. They'd never heard that before. I'm sure that these other prisoners were moaning, groaning, complaining, and doing everything the prisoners do in prison other than sing praises and worship the Lord. But they really paid attention. And so, will it forward one? Yeah, the power of God. This is what this whole thing is leading up to. A demonstration of God's power. And let me tell you, when you are persecuted, when you are in difficult situations, it's for the purpose of teaching you and me something, but it's also to demonstrate the power of the living God. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. The foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. That's power. There is no way that Paul and Silas could escape from this prison without the power of God. They couldn't chew through the chains that bound them. They couldn't get out of the stocks. They couldn't open the gates. It was absolutely impossible without the power of God for them to be delivered. We find ourselves sometimes in circumstances like that. And what are we supposed to do? Well, if we follow Paul and Silas, we pray and sing praises. That's hard. But here we have a prime example of how God works, not just in Paul and Silas's life, but in everybody's life who desires to live a godly life, because they will suffer persecution. And when you're in persecution, what do? You pray and sing praises. Here's the power of this whole scenario. God can set you free. I don't care what the circumstances are, God can set you free. No matter how bound we feel, no matter how challenged we feel, God can set us free. It may not be from a prison. It may be from a habit we need to give up. It may be from attitudes that we need to change. God can set us free. That's the power of being a born-again believer. Yes, it's not going to be easy. He hasn't promised us an easy life. What He's promised us is eternal life. And you have that as your gift right now if you are a child of God. And if you die this afternoon, you're headed for glory. You close your eyes in death, and you open them in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So keep in mind, there isn't a chain that can bind you that God can't take care of. There isn't a circumstance in your life that God cannot deal with. Not only deal with it, but set you free from the situation. We're totally powerless to do that. Paul and Silas were totally powerless. There's nothing they could do except trust in the Lord. Here's an amazing story. It's a true story. Lieutenant Colonel Donald Couillard and his son Matt were skiing in the mountains of northern Turkey. They got into a blizzard and lost their way. They wound up in a cave, and for 5 days, the army had people out looking for them, helicopters flying around. And whenever they would hear a helicopter fly over, they would try to get out of the cave in time to signal to them, but they never made it. So after 5 days, the search for these two people was canceled, the colonel and his son. Finally, after several days in the cave, the colonel decided that he would make the hardest decision of his life. He decided that he would leave the cave and tell his son, "You stay here in the cave. I'll go out for help." And he assured his son that he loved him. In his heart, he probably figured out that he would never see his son again because of the difficulty of the terrain and where they happened to be. But he did that. He left the cave, and he remembered seeing a very tiny village a long way off down the mountain. And for one day and one night, he finally made it to that little village. But to his disheartenment, he found out that the village was deserted. So he broke in a door, lay on the cabin floor, and slept for 2 days. When he awoke, later on when he was interviewed about this situation, the person talking to him said, "What did you do then?" The colonel said, "I finally came to the place where I could no longer change the situation. I was no longer in control. I had absolutely nothing that I could possibly do. The only one thing that I did was look to heaven and say, 'God, help us.' And when he did that, he heard an engine firing up in the village. He went outdoors and he found a group of Turkish loggers who were logging in the area. And he led them to the cave where his son was, and they had a wonderful reuniting. But what's the point of the story? God, help us. When you finally get there, the end gate is God, help us. And I can promise you this, he will. And then last of all, if you can get one more slide out of this, the party. All of this was leading up to a great party. How many of you like to party? Boy, I don't get much response. You must not be party people. We're not talking the world's party. We're talking about a spiritual get-together here. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. And let me say that under Roman law, if a jailer, a warden, lost the prisoners, he was dead. They would not tolerate that. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." So rather than this guy letting the Roman people put him to death, he decided to take his own life. But Paul said, "Hey, don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Next slide. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. Then immediately, he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole house. That's a party, isn't it? And you know what? That party reached heaven. Because the last verse, the last slide, if we can get to it, says, "I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." That's the kind of party we want to be involved in, isn't it? To lead a person to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that the angels in heaven are excited about it, to know that that person's life is gone. I would like to know what happened to this jailer and what kind of a church leader he might have become, but we don't know anything about that. But it ended in a wonderful, wonderful way. God was glorified through the whole situation, even though it took Paul and Silas in prison, singing hymns and praying. Yes, they were in prison, but their minds were not in the prison. Their minds were fastened upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. You know where you are spiritually this morning. You know whether you have received Christ as your Savior or not. You know that as a child of God, you'll go through some persecution. But you also know that there isn't anything that can happen to you that God is not capable of taking care of. He does, can, and will set us free. So our hymn of invitation for this month is, "I Love to Tell the Story." That should be uppermost in our minds. We're in the last 3 months of the year. And it's during this time of year that people seem to be a little more open, a little softer to the Word of God. So take advantage of that. And if you need to make a decision for the Lord, do so as we stand and sing hymn number 435.